Reading from Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth, as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the cave and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come. And who is able to stand?" Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for it is the only thing that will show us what Christ has accomplished for us. Oh Father, we pray that you will pour out your blessings, your grace upon us, that you will grant us the ears to hear you through your word. Grant us the eyes to see the glory and the beauty of your Son, Jesus Christ, to see the beauty and the glory of that glorious place, our eternal home. And let us rejoice. For you are our God, and we are your people. And that will never change. We thank you and we pray that you will cause us to truly listen. And that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we come to the sixth seal, and as you could tell by just reading it, it points to the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's answer to the cry of the souls of those who have been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. It is God's answer to the cry of the souls that are underneath the altar. We saw this last Lord's Day. They cry out, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" God is answering that question as he comes back to consummate his kingdom forever. These souls that are underneath the altar, they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed even as they had been would be completed also. From this, we see how all believers, we are his faithful witnesses. We are his martyrs. Not that we have to die physically to be his martyrs, but we live the life that belongs to martyrs. We do participate in his glorious life of death and resurrection. Now in our passage, a little while longer is passed away. And according to verse 17, the great day of God's wrath has come. So we see from verses 12 through 14, the whole universe, the first creation, is judged by God. And from verse 15 and 16, the people who dwell on the earth are judged by God. All the non-believers are judged by God. First of all, I do want you to see from this the power of your prayers. Of course, God does not need our prayers to do what He wants to do. But it is amazing grace that it is His pleasing will to work through our prayers. Even the final judgment, even His second coming, He will come and He will bring that final judgment through your and my and His people's prayers. His church, always pray, "Come quickly, Lord." And even that final event, He will do that through our prayers. So brothers and sisters, I know that many times when you pray, and I feel the same way, that our prayers are powerless and you doubt whether what we pray will ever come true. But look at what is happening. When you pray according to God's will, your prayers are powerful. They will all come true. So don't ever think that your prayers are useless or powerless. Well, let us see what happens when the sixth seal is broken. Verses 12 through 14. I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. The sky was split apart like a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. When Jesus returns, there will be a great earthquake. Sun becomes black. The whole moon becomes like blood. The stars of the sky fall to the earth. The sky splits. Every mountain and island are moved out of their places. To borrow the phrase from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26, the whole creation is shaken. Yes, because of sin, the whole creation is under God's curse. And many times we do not understand this. I'm not saying that we forsake our duties to the creation. No. But you have to understand the whole creation is under God's wrath. Genesis chapter 3 verse 17b says, "Cursed is the ground because of you." He's talking to Adam. "In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life." And during the Noah's flood, chapter 6, verse 5, Genesis, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And if you go down to verse 11 of chapter 6 of Genesis, now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Because of sin, the whole creation is now under the curse of God. According to chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 8, sinners and Satan are those who destroy the earth. And the great harlot is described as someone who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, according to chapter 19, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those now live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Because of sins of men, earth is under God's curse. The judgment of God comes upon the idols and completely destroys them. The world has become the idol of the sinners. Romans chapter 1 verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Thus, the whole creation is under God's judgment. Let us go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. Why earth will be burned up? Because it is under God's wrath. It is under God's curse. Verse 11, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All will perish and be destroyed. It is the dreadful and terrible judgment of God. And from the Old Testament, this judgment of God is described in similar terms that we see in our passage. Joel chapter 2 verse 10, before them the earth quakes, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars lose their brightness. Joel chapter 2 verse 30 and 31, I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth, blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Haggai chapter 2 verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea also and the dry land. Isaiah 13 verse 13, therefore I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will be shaken from its place at the fury of the Lord of hosts in the day of his burning anger. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9 and 10. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, cruel and fury and burning anger, to make the land a desolation, and he will exterminate his sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not flash forth their light. The sun will be dark when it rises, and the moon will not shed its light. Even Jesus, describing this day, said in a similar way. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, Jesus says, "But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken." Obviously, it is a terrible day of God's judgment. Why is God telling this to us? Do you remember? It is not to scare you. But this judgment of God, judgment of this world, is at the same time a salvation to you. How are we completely saved? Through the judgment of this world. And we saw this so many times, and I showed you many examples. Egypt has to be destroyed in order for Israelites to be saved. The whole world has to be destroyed during the Noah's flood. But at the same time, that judgment of God is salvation of Noah's family. This is the way of God. So how is God going to save his people completely, perfectly? Well, he will come and judge this world. And through that judgment, but that judgment is for you, a salvation. You will be saved out of all that and delivered into this new heaven and new earth. This great, terrible day of judgment, for you and for me, it is not a day of fear and trembling. The destruction of this world means that the new heaven and the new earth will be given to us. This first creation has to be completely destroyed so that the new creation will be ours. So for believers, this day is not a day of fear and trembling. We welcome this day. We long for this day so that Christ, his salvation that he accomplished will be completely consummated. The new heaven and the new earth. There are two views in the Reformed circles on the nature of the new heaven and new earth. We saw this when we looked at the Armageddon Bible study. First view is that this new heaven and new earth is renewal of the present earth. This earth will be renewed. It will be destroyed, but it will be renewed. Second view is that the present earth is completely destroyed, and the completely new earth is given to us. The first view is like, if you want to understand that first view, Look at your body. Our body will renew, meaning our body will resurrect to a glorious body. But before our body is resurrected to a glorious body, this body has to be destroyed. It has to die. But the body that will be resurrected to a glorious body is this body, your body. It's not completely new body, other body than your body. It's your body being renewed. So they will look at the new heaven and new earth in that way. This earth will be destroyed, but it will be renewed like resurrection to a glorious new earth. That's one view. It is similar to our salvation, and when you look at Romans chapter 8, we see that this teaching might be correct. But if we are going to look at it like that, then many questions arise. And what is that question? If new heaven and new earth is renewal of this present earth, then I have to ask, where is heaven right now then? Because if new heaven and new earth, if heaven has to be, is this earth being renewed, then where is heaven right now? And where is Jesus Christ and His body, that is glorious body? Where is it right now then? If we have to wait until this present earth to be renewed, then where is heaven right now? That would be my question. But to me, it really does not make any difference which view you choose to hold. This world will be judged by God, and for you and for me, the new heaven and the new earth will be given. Whether the new earth is the one that is renewed from the present earth, or it is the completely new one, the world as we know it now will be no longer, no matter which view you hold. The earth that as we know it right now, this will be gone. This will be destroyed. No matter which view you hold. Even as we see the final judgment of God, our focus is on the new heaven and the new earth. Our focus is on heaven, our eternal home. Chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 1a, "Then I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away." So no matter how we understand this new heaven and new earth, the first creation as we know it, as we see right now, this will be gone. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 and 5a, "And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, there will be no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And He who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new." 2 Peter chapter 3 that we read before, verse 12 and 13, "Looking and hastening the day of the day, coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat, But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Isaiah 65 verse 17, For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26 through 28. Let us go there together. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 through 28. Verse 26. And his voice shook the earth, then, he's referring to the Mount Sinai experience of Israelites in the Old Testament. They have come to God, and they have come to Mount Sinai to meet God, Sinai to meet God. And, verse 26, and his voice shook the earth, then, referring to that event, but now he has promised, saying, Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Even in the Old Testament, when God came to Israelites on the Mount Sinai, the earth shook. But God promised another shaking, if you will. But this time is final shaking when Jesus returns. Everything will shake. And all those things that shakes will be gone. But those things that will not be shaken will remain. And only thing that will not be shaken is the things of heaven that will remain forever. But everything that you see right now will be shaken. This is why it is so foolish to live our lives having our hopes in this world. Now, don't misunderstand me. We need to do our duty. God says to rule the earth, govern the earth. So, needlessly polluting the world, polluting the earth, is not God's will. You have to preserve it. But we preserve the earth for a greater purpose. What is that? Is so that God's plan of saving His people can go on until that last number is saved. To Noah, after he destroyed the earth with rain, flood, to Noah, God promised that He will not destroy the earth until this final day. Why though? What is the purpose of God preserving the earth? So that those people that He has chosen were born into the world, so that they will be saved. Those elect will be saved. And this preserving this earth is only until that last one is saved. then God's work is done. Then he comes. And as he comes, he will judge the world. He will destroy it because we don't need it anymore. We don't need to preserve it anymore. You have to understand, yes, we are for preserving the earth. Clean air and all that, hey, that's good. Yeah, some people, they go too far. I mean, they give whole life doing that. No. There's a bigger purpose. Bigger purpose is that God's plan will be consummated. And you must understand this. See, you think your life is for some other purpose. You think there is this other purpose that you have in this world. But if your purpose is not according to God's purpose, you will be greatly disappointed. Because later on, when it's time for you to go, you will realize you just have wasted your life. Because all your accomplishments will not be remembered in heaven. But we live according to the purpose of God. And his purpose is to save his elect. And he does that through the church. And everything that you do, even making money, has to be according to that purpose of God. And I pray, brothers and sisters, that from our passage, you will see how foolish it is to live for the world. That when Jesus comes, it will be destroyed. I want you to understand here, though, that what we are reading is in a symbolical language. I mean, it is obvious this is a symbolical language because you read like stars falling on earth. No, stars are actually bigger than earth. How can stars fall on earth? Obviously, symbolical language. And some people only see it as a symbol saying that our passage is talking about just the political, economical, and social change in a large scale. So when they see stars falling, they see the great men, like king and powerful men, they are falling. So they see this as a political or economical or even big social change that will happen on the earth. Yes, those are part of this passage. Because in the Old Testament, stars and moon and sun, they were symbols of political leaders, usually the kings of nations. But what we are looking at in our passage is bigger than that. It is the final judgment of God in which God completely destroys the world as we know it now. Because there are other passages, not just Revelation passage, but there are other passages in the Bible that will clearly teach us, not just in symbolical language, but in clear language, that this earth will be completely judged by God and will be destroyed. It is a cosmic judgment of God. It is the reversal of the Genesis 1, decreation, if you will. If what you see is from chaos to creation in Genesis 1, then what you are seeing at the end is the reversal of that, is the decreation. As far as this world is concerned, is from order to chaos. Completely opposite direction that we see from Genesis 1. But the judgment of God doesn't just fall unto the creation, but also falls upon the sinners. And that we will see in verse 15 and verse 16. Let me read that to you. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and freeman hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. The kings, the great men, the commanders, the rich, the strong, the slaves, the free men, all sinners, the terrible judgment of God will be poured upon those who deny God. And we see here they hide in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains and say to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. It shows how terrible this judgment will be. Hosea chapter 10, verse 7 through 8, Samaria will be cut off with her king like a stick on the surface of the water. Also the high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Thorn and thistle will grow on their altars. And they will say to the mountain, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. This great man, man of power in this world, the judgment of God is so terrible that they tell the rocks to fall on them so that they could hide from the wrath of God. People who belong to this world, they seek their security in this world. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they also hid themselves among the tree of the garden. They believed that this world can give them security. So they build stronger nations, stronger houses. They think that this world can give them security. And if they have lots of money in the bank, they feel secure. If they have a powerful job, they feel secure. If they know powerful men, they feel secure. If they have this or that of this world, they feel secure. How about you? How will the things of this world will save you when this judgment comes upon this earth? What makes you secure? What makes you feel secure? The wrath of the Lamb, the same Lamb that was slain. John chapter 5, verse 22b, the Father has given all judgment to the Son, and he will come back to judge this world. Verse 17, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? And this is very, very important question. Now, judgment is coming. And for you and me, it's not judgment for us, it's salvation. But this question, when that judgment comes, fearful judgment, who is able to stand? Nahum chapter 1 verse 6, Who can stand before his indignation? Who is able to endure the burning of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up by him. Malachi chapter 3 verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Who is able to stand? The answer to that question can be found in chapter 7, which you will study beginning next Lord's Day. Chapter 7 verse 9 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. And they are, chapter 7 verse 14b says, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Who is able to stand? Those who have been washed with the blood of Jesus Christ. In the perspective of the book of Revelation, those who dwell on the earth, they are non-believers. Every time you see that phrase, those who dwell on the earth, here, the judgment of God is coming upon those who dwell on the earth. It's a description of non-believers. But in the perspective of the book of Revelation, God's people do not dwell on the earth. They are in heaven. Just like you are in heaven right now, even as you worship God. Spiritually, you have come to heaven. You dwell in the presence of God, you dwell in heaven. So in the perspective of book of Revelation, there are two kinds of people, again, those who dwell on the earth and those dwell in heaven. These people who dwell in heaven, they stand before God in heaven. God's final judgment is not for them. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 24. John 5 verse 24. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. This final judgment that we see in our passage is not for those who believe in Jesus Christ. You do not come into judgment anymore. Why is that? Go to Matthew 27. Matthew 27. Verse 45. This is event of the cross. Jesus is being crucified. And verse 25 says, now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, thani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And go down to verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two, from the top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Do you remember the description of the final judgment of God? The earth shakes. The moon and sun become dark. And the rocks, mountains and rocks split. Do you see that when Jesus dies on that cross, the moon and the sun, they lost their light. Darkness fell upon the land. And the land was shaking. The rocks were splitting. You get it? Do you get it? It's the picture of the last judgment. Jesus Christ is receiving the final judgment for you. God caused these things to happen so that we may see what is going on. It's exactly according to the word. Yes, darkness came. Yes, there was an earthquake. Yes, rocks split. It's the picture of the final judgment. Yes, Jesus is receiving the final judgment upon the cross for you. Instead of you. That is why when the final judgment for the rest of the people, the non-believers, when that final judgment comes, it will not be for you the final judgment of God, because the final judgment of God for you is already received by your Lord Jesus Christ, by your Savior. Who is able to stand? Those who are in Christ. Those who believe in Christ, yes, they will be able to stand when the final judgment comes. And you're not going to cry out to the rocks and the mountains to cover you. You will be so glad to see Him, you will actually run out to Him. The picture that you see in our passage is not you. It's not the church of God. It's those who dwell on the earth, those who live having their hope and their confidence in this world. Yeah, for them it will be fearful. But you will say, come, Lord, quickly, come. Obviously, it's not your picture. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 20 and 21. Hear your God's loving voice. It says, God says, come, my people, enter into your rooms. And close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until indignation runs its course. For behold, the Lord is about to come out from His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, and the earth will reveal her bloodshed and will no longer cover her slain. Here comes God with His judgment, and He tells His people, go into your rooms and hide there for a while until my judgment passes. Just hide for a while. That's exactly what we see every time God's judgment comes. Noah's flood. God's people, representing God's people, Noah's family, eight people, they were in the ark. And the ark door was closed and they were just waiting, hiding from the judgment of God that was pouring on this whole earth. They were just hiding for a little while until the judgment passed. When Israelites, when they were coming out of Egypt, the 10th plague, God told them to kill the lamb and put The blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And when God comes to judge the Egyptians, they were in their rooms, they were in their houses. A picture of temple, they were in the temple of God, and they were hiding for a little while until the angel of death passes over them. Until the judgment of God passes, they were hiding. And this is your picture. When the final judgment comes, when Jesus Christ returns, you and I will be hiding in Christ. Oh yes, Jesus' blood is all over you. Just like those houses when the lamb's blood was on the doorpost. But you are cleansed with Jesus' blood. And when God comes to judge the whole world, you will hide. Just for a little while. Until His final wrath, final judgment pass. This is what the gospel is all about. Who will be able to stand? You and I who are in Christ. That judgment will not hurt us. The judgment of God will not destroy us. Because Jesus was destroyed on that cross for you and for me. Do you see your heavenly reality? Who is able to stand? All of us who are in Jesus Christ, and we witness that reality even right now. We do stand even now before our Lord Jesus Christ as we worship our God. And God does not destroy us. You and I, we're worshiping Him and praising His holy name even now. And God's judgment is not for us. But understand what will happen to this world. And understand from what kind of world and what will happen to that world that you are now saved out of. You cannot go back to the world. You are already out. You cannot live according to the world. You don't belong to the world. The new heaven and new earth is for you. You must understand the gospel. You must understand what God is telling you. That is why He calls us to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. That's why He tells us, do not follow the patterns of this world. Because He knows what is best for us. But more importantly, He knows what He has done and what He will do. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you will have an ear to hear what God says to you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh Father, in Jesus Christ, we are the one who is able to stand before you. Yes, Father, you will come to destroy the whole world. But that is not the day for fear and trembling for us. But that day is for us the most glorious, most happy, most joyous day, for we will see you face to face and live with you in that glorious place forever and ever. That everything will be consummated and the truth will clearly be revealed. And you alone will receive all the glory. Oh Father, we join John in crying out to you, come Lord, quickly come. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.